As I was looking at our passages this week, the first thing that came to mind, and I must confess, I zeroed in primarily on our Luke reading, because I'm currently writing out the book of Luke again for the second time. It's really something of value, looking at the Bible in little tiny pieces as well as really big pieces. This is one of the many useful things I got from my theology professor who suggested you should try and do both. So like read the Bible through in a year and then maybe write out a book or two. It's a useful thing. I commend it to you for your consideration and nothing more than that. But Luke has been on my mind, and Dr. Luke and all of his good things that he has brought for us, some of the most familiar and some of our favorite parables are in Luke. It's just one of those books, but it's not all fun and games. And that's where the sermon title comes from. Some things are hard. I was talking to Hadley about this, about what is hard, and there's all kinds of things that are hard. Rocks are hard. Ice is hard. Helping people understand that you do mean the best for them when you tell them things they don't want to hear is hard. Doing what Jesus says in Luke is hard. Depending on the translation, we're told in this little bit, but I tell you who hear, you with ears to hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Which of those is easy? None of them. Not a bit. Well, for some people they are. I don't know. For me, none. I find those hard. I don't like loving my enemies. If I can turn them into friends, I think that's sort of the end goal. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, love your enemies while they're still enemies. Do good to those who hate you. I don't like it when people hate me. It doesn't happen so much anymore. My youngest is 18, so we don't have that middle teen years issue that sometimes pops up. I don't teach anymore, so I don't have students who hate what I assigned them, and sometimes hated me too. Since I stopped playing sports, I haven't had a lot of people cursing me, but that was one of the things that happened then. And do I really get mistreated? Not that much either. But when I do, my first thought, I'm afraid, is not to pray for them. So if they're hard, what's the easiest way to do them? Well, the easiest way to get out of it, because it says that those who hear me, is to just not hear, is to just not listen. There's all kinds of things that we have. Like I occasionally say, there are days when I don't have much of a hearing problem. My hearing's still quite good. But I often have a listening problem. And so we can just not listen, and we can just ignore this, and I say this with a great deal of affection to some people I know in this particular way of thinking. Christian nationalists, for example, don't do any of those things. They just ignore them. They don't hear them. And that's an easy way out of that. Because really, does it make sense to love your enemies? Of course not. Does it make sense when somebody slaps you in the face to just let them slap you again? Of course not. That's foolishness. That's nonsense. But so was grace. So was the very idea that God, the creator of the universe, would take on a form just like ours with all of the weaknesses and things that we have and live with us for a while and then let us kill him. That's also foolish. One of the things we simply have to get past if we're going to go anywhere in what it means to be in relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is realizing that what we call foolish doesn't matter and doesn't count. We can, as much as we want, apply transactional thinking to the Bible. We can, as much as we want, look at the words of Jesus and look for things in there that are to our financial benefit, and we will look for a very long time, and we won't find very much. And it's not just us. In verse 31, we have one version or another of do unto others as you would have them do to you, frequently called the golden rule. It's one of the few things, it's one of the few statements that transcends all religious barriers and is found in every single religion without fail. Every major religion in the world, it's found in Islam, it's found in the Hindus, it's found everywhere.
Why? Because we have to be told, no matter where we are. Because doing to others as you would have them do to you is hard. There are very few people who wake up in the morning and want to do what's hard. There are some. There are some who always take the more difficult road. Blessings on them. I am not one of those. I want things to be easy. I used to want things to be hard. And I look at it now and I say, no, that was taking the easy way out because I did hard things rather than doing the much harder things of being nice to people. Because that was hard for me for a while. And then when I began to look into this, it became even harder. Like later on, we're told not to judge. Well, what do you mean not judge? Don't condemn. What's the point of driving then? Looking around and judging people. Not that terribly long ago, my youngest and I were driving and we assigned the probability of different makes of automobiles doing what we expected and wanted them to do. Awfully nervy of us. And if that isn't judging, I don't know what is. Why do we judge? Because we feel superior? Because we want to? Because it's fun? But we don't want to be judged. But there's a way out. It says if you don't judge, then you won't be judged. If you can live a life that accepts what is, rather than condemning people for not doing what you want, then you won't be condemned. But it's hard not to condemn people over something as trivial as somebody cutting you off after you just washed your car in the kind of weather we have. Windshields all mucky and all of that. It's hard for us. It's hard for me. But if I'm careful, if I take a moment, because that's all it takes now. It used to take a long time of thinking and carefully looking at everything. Now, if I take a moment to say, what have I received compared to what just happened to me? It changes my perspective. I was talking to my spiritual director earlier this week, and we were talking about gratitude. And he said something about gratitude that I realized I'd sort of intuitively understood, but never heard quite that way. That gratitude takes us out of ourselves. And I thought about it, and I said, "That you're right. When I'm grateful for you, all of you who are here, all of you who are online, for those people who wish they could be here and can't, when I think of all the people in this community of faith, regular or not, whatever they might be, and I'm grateful for you, I'm not thinking about myself, at least not at that moment. And when I'm not thinking about myself, I'm less concerned that somebody just cut me off. Because the chances of somebody cutting me off on purpose are essentially zero. We just don't have people like that. I'm sure they exist, but on the whole, people don't cut each other. They didn't notice, they were in a hurry. It's a new car and they're not used to where they're, whatever. It doesn't matter. They didn't do it on purpose. They didn't do it to me. They don't even know who I am. So instead, if I can step out of that and say, I'm grateful that that person didn't hit my car. And for that matter, if I can wake up in the morning and I can think of the things I'm grateful for, it reshapes my entire day. Part of my morning is doing something with gratitude. I've been working my way through a 90-day gratitude journal. It asks you, first of all, the same two questions every day. I am grateful for blank because blank. And it's whatever it comes to your mind. And then it says, I'm looking forward to today, or tomorrow if you do it in the evening. What am I looking forward to today? And then the last one's a bit of a wild card. It has all kinds of things. It says, what are you grateful for when it comes to your health? I never thought of that. It took me a while. I'm grateful that I seem to have at least partial immunity to strep throat. It's a small thing. But I shared a bedroom with my older brother, Gordon, who got strep throat about 6 times a year. And I didn't. I'm grateful for that. The orientation towards gratitude, beginning my day that way, makes all of these things easier. For me, they're still not easy, but they're easier. Loving my enemies, doing good to those who hate me, Blessing those who curse me and praying for those who mistreat me is not necessarily directed solely to the people who come up to me and call me names to my face. But how do I respond to those people out there who call themselves believers and followers of the same Jesus that I am, who don't do that at all? Those people drive me nuts, more than lots of other things. Because if they say they're inside, they should know better. It's like when your siblings do something dumb. You're always harder on your siblings because you know they know better. Strangers, who knows? Maybe they were never taught. People who say they follow Jesus and ignore most of what he says, it is very tempting for me. Even to hate them some days, but definitely to dislike them. And what does Jesus say? He says, love them. Those people hate my family. My partner is non-binary. Two of my kids are transgender. They hate them and don't want them to exist. It's hard for me to do good for them and to do good to them. So how do I? Well, I don't do it very well. But I do it better when I take the time that it takes, which isn't all that much, to remember that the God of the universe loves me in spite of everything. In spite of all the things I know I've done, and even the things I didn't know I did that were bad, I'm still loved. I'm not about to try and create some kind of a grading system for what's the worst and what's the not worst when it comes to bad. Bad is bad. And God said, you are okay. I love you. And I said, but I'm bad. God said, I don't care. I love you. I love what I created. I love what you are and what you can become. I don't love what you do all the time, but I always love you. And when I live in that, these things become less hard. And when I begin to try and understand what it is that I need the most, which has been a bit of a challenge for me, one more reason to go see a therapist, is when I know what I want, it's easier for me to treat people in love. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. What is it that I want? What is it that I want from these people? What can I give them back? I don't want to, because they don't respect my family. But I can respect their humanity. I can respect them as individual human beings for whom Christ also came and whom God also loves. I can put in the work to think that way, and it will make it easier. Will it ever become easy? I don't know. It never seemed to become easy for Paul. And I figure if Paul couldn't get it figured out, then, you know, I think of Romans 7. Okay, then I guess that's okay for me to still struggle a bit with this, but at least I know the direction I need to go in, and I know what it is that can help this be less hard. And I don't know what it will be for you, but I strongly encourage you to try and approach the world from an orientation that begins with gratitude. Not for them necessarily, because often you're not grateful for them, but look at the things you are grateful for. Terrific friends. Those of you with partners, for how long you've been together, with kids and grandkids and great-grandkids that some of you have, which I find just amazing. You think of all of these things that you're grateful for and move out into the world that is sometimes harsh and often unkind, but begin with gratitude. Begin with remembering that you have been loved since before the beginning of the world, that the infinite God, through the mysteries of infinity, is always constantly focused on you and you and you and each of us. Not to see what we're doing to check up on us, but in the same way that when you bring your first baby, or in my case, babies, home, you can just sit and look at them. hold them for what seems like a minute and turns out to be an hour. Why? Because you love them. And you're loved the same way by the God of the universe, who loved you enough to become like us, to put up with people just like me. Those are the foundations of gratitude. The reality of the love that we have from God. And from there we look out to the love of others, to the good things that have happened in our lives. And that can equip us in a way that many other things can't, to walk out into a world that is harsh and difficult sometimes. But a world that we are still called to love and to do to those, and that's everybody, as we would have them do to us. Being grateful for the goodness of your life and the good things in your life won't solve all your problems, but it'll certainly help you with some of these things that are hard and make them at least a little bit easier. Amen.